you don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feelin' Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Now here's a highlight from Coast to Coast AM on iHeartRadio.
And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you. Let me tell you about Donald Schmidt, a 6-time best-selling author and the former co-director of the J. Allen Hynek Center for UFO Studies in Chicago, where he served as director of special investigations for 10 years, a co-founder of the world-famous International UFO Museum and Research Center in Roswell. He serves there as an advisor to the board of directors, an internationally known investigative journalist, and a darn good one and lecturer. His first book, UFO Crash at Roswell, was made into a Golden Globe-nominated movie called Roswell. Don, welcome to the program. It's always a pleasure having you on the show.
Well, thank you, George, and it's always a pleasure to be back. Thank you so much.
You are, my friend, one of the giants of ufology.
Well, those are, considering the people that I have been most influenced by, the late doctors J. Allen Hynek and certainly our dear friend Stanton Friedman.
Oh, gosh.
I still have big shoes to fill, but we strive every day to make them proud, I guess.
I'm going to have you talk about Stan and Hynek as we go through this hour. I have to tell you a great story. I got into broadcasting at a young age because I wanted to unravel the stories you've covered in your career. I wanted to do UFOs and ghosts and things like that. So at 21, while I was still going to the University of Detroit, I got a job as a radio reporter at a radio station in Detroit, a pretty significant one. In my first interview, I noticed a little clipping in the Detroit News that says, ufologist and nuclear physicist Stanton Friedman will be speaking at Oakland University to a group of business people about UFOs. And I saw that and went, oh, my God, I got to cover this. So I went to my news director and I said, please, let me cover the story. And he said, I'm not going to pay you overtime to cover UFOs.
Right.
If you want to go, go yourself. Well, I did. And I interviewed Stan Friedman. He was my first interview when I was 21 years old. Now, let's jump ahead. A couple years ago, Columbus, Ohio, we're doing our live stage show. Stan's one of our special guests on the program. He looked great. On his way home, he dies at the airport.
And of all the places.
Why, my God.
My God. I mean, not to be with his wife or even anyone else of close personal association. But he still went out doing what he loved to do.
He did. And I was, now this is what's ironic. He was my first interview.
Yes.
And I was the last person to interview him.
Precisely, as though it was meant.
It was destiny.
Yes.
But
yes,
what a ufologist. And he meant the world to you.
Well, and he did. And I know there were times that, well, sure, but that's what, you know, people that are you know, investigating a mystery where you don't have any answers. There's no such thing as an expert in UFOs because we don't have those answers as of yet. And you're going to butt heads. You're going to, you know, disagree. But that's what kept it so, you know, exciting, because at the end of the day, we still were friends and colleagues, and our investigations, you know, we'd often, you know, would share a microphone or a camera, and we'd always agree ahead of time. You know, we only are going to, you know, cover common ground. We're not going to disagree on camera or anything. And he was a total gentleman, and just like Hynek. I don't think there's a day that goes by that I don't think, now, what would Alan, what would Stan say in this situation?
Absolutely. And when Stan started investigating Roswell, of course, and you were part of that.
Well, no, actually, in my case, it would have been with Kevin Randall when we started out. It would have been 11 years later.
Later, okay.
Yes, yes.
Then did Stan have an influence on you?
Oh, absolutely. But I can't emphasize enough, George, I was a skeptic. In fact, even when the first book came out, that in many regards, you know, Stan received little acclaim, where he was the primary investigator, and he was only acknowledged in the book Roswell Incident by Charles Berlitz and William Moore. And Stan was doing a talk in, I believe it was Lakeland College in Northern Illinois, and I was there with Stan, and even afterwards backstage. And at the Center for UFO Studies, we were talking about going down to New Mexico and, you know, proving that this was a weather balloon device that the mm-hmm. government still maintains after all these years, or something else conventional. And I asked Stan, do you feel you've interviewed all the witnesses? And he went, oh, my God, Don, no. I'm sure there are hundreds of people that we've yet to locate. And I asked, how would you like some help? And he could not have been more encouraging. And it's like, Don, if you guys want to take a swing at it, you know, we're running out of time. Stan was the one who coined the phrase, we're racing with the Undertaker.
Exactly.
And that's exactly where we were with the World War II generation.
What was it, Don, that turned you around from being that skeptic?
Well, both Kevin Randall and myself at that time, it was talking to the first-hand witnesses to the unusual characteristics of the wreckage, the debris, whether it was military, whether they were the ranchers, their hired hands, even their children who were involved north of Roswell. And their descriptions were, you know, identical about just how super strong the material was and weightless in their hands. And they were describing the fiber optics. And then when they were describing the memory characteristics, where it was the same super strong material, but you could fold it, you could crease it, you could crumble it into a ball, and every time you'd place it down, it would slowly unravel mm-hmm. right before your eyes to its original shape and size. And we're looking at one another and going, my God, we have to treat this like it's the real thing, because if we're wrong, we're you know, summarily dismissing the biggest story of the millennium. And from there on, we went where the evidence took us, and that's where we are today.
And how did you get involved with Dr. J. Allen Hynek?
Well, Hynek had observed some of my reports with the Aerial Phenomena Research Organization, where I had started initially, because both Coro and Jim Lorenzen, the founders of that particular group, were from here in Wisconsin. And so I became involved with them after college, and then Hynek observed some of my reports, and he invited me down to his home in Evanston, Illinois, and he asked if I'd be interested in a few cases, and before I knew it, I was getting regular cases, and I was being invited down on a regular basis, and we spent many a trip together in the field. And what was sad about Dr. Hynek, who was even 10 years younger than Stan was when he passed away, it was Hynek who was always lamenting, I'm an old man in a hurry, I'm an old man in a hurry. And I don't think there's anything worse than feeling that there you are in your last years and you still have a mission unaccomplished.
Was he haunted by that swamp gas story from Dexter, Michigan?
I wouldn't say so much haunted as he felt it was an unfair label. And because when Hynek, still working for Project Blue Book at that time, when he arrived and the Dexter Ann Arbor sightings in 66, when he arrived, the press just swarmed him. They wanted answers. They felt that the Air Force had already been covering up the entire situation. And there was only, it was one particular sighting involving a farmer who saw a glowing orb, you know, over a marshland. And Hynek only intended it to apply to explain that one incident during that time. But to give you another example, George, Dr. Jalen Hynek interviewed an Air Force officer who was a witness to the entire series of sightings. And Blue Book totally scrubbed that. They would not let that one go public. But the swamp gas, yes, they loved that because they felt that Hynek would be stuck, you know, explaining that. And obviously he was their scientific advisor. And as you described, he never lived it down. No.
No, never did. I've always been told that it was the police officer Lonnie Zamora case from Socorro, New Mexico, that turned Hynek around and made him a believer.
Totally. But before that, there was a slow evolution, and what Hynek especially was alarmed about, and he threatened to resign from Blue Book numerous times, and that was the fact that in the field, on the road, Dr. Hynek was constantly talking to military pilots and commercial pilots about their, you know, aerial experiences. And when he would go down to Wright-Patterson to look through the monthly Blue Book files, he'd ask, now, where did that... Where's this report? Where's that witness, you know, testimony? And he realized, as he would say, all the hardcore cases were going upstairs, that they were not part of the Blue Book system. And it was the Lonnie Zamora case in April of 64 that you had physical traces, you had the Zamora witnessed as far as the two occupants outside the craft, and Hector Quintanilla, who was the final director of Blue Book, as hard as he tried, he couldn't come up with a conventional explanation. Hynek would say that as much as he tried to prove that case, he couldn't, that he had to accept that it was definitely a genuine UFO.
Wow, that's right.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like Eco Eye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feelin' Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
Now, what did you think of the funeral director, Glenn Dennis, from Roswell?
Well, they're mixed impressions of Glenn. And we were able to determine that as Glenn Dennis, who worked at the Ballard Funeral Home in July of 1947, he did receive phone calls. There were calls from the base hospital inquiring as to what techniques could be used for the preservation of bodily tissues and fluids, which have been exposed to the elements, to the desert climate for some days at the time. And then there were also calls about child-sized caskets. And we spoke to the son of a contracted truck driver who would indeed go up to Amarillo, Texas, and pick up caskets. And he described that that's exactly what they did, that they needed to pick up a number of child-sized caskets. The part of the story of Glenn going out and meeting with the nurse and that she described, you know, a preliminary autopsy at the base hospital, we have serious doubts about because Glenn gave us the wrong name of the nurse, and we spent a lot of time chasing, you know, basically a phantom who never existed. Now, there was a nurse. Her name was Adeline Fatten. She was stationed at the base at that time, and she looked like a young Audrey Hepburn, as Glenn would describe, and she had considered going into the sisterhood, into the convent, before going into the Army Nurse Corps. But what it actually comes down to, George, is that Glenn was, you know, having an affair with that nurse, and it was his way of covering it up.
Yeah, interesting. Was that all he was covering up?
Well, we didn't have a chance to get a final deathbed confession with Glenn. The family pretty much protected him from any further visits, but he never recanted on any of his original story. But it's just that as investigators, we have to corroborate. We have to find independent witnesses.
Were there any Roswell witnesses, Don, who took lie detector tests?
Not lie detector tests, because we never felt it necessary because they weren't claiming to be in possession of material that later disappeared, that type of thing. Often we were dealing with elderly people that we just felt we didn't want to become interrogators. We were looking for the information, not their names, to be published, and then looking for that additional corroboration. And for having interviewed, between Tom Carey and myself, over 600 witnesses, either directly or indirectly involved, and the number of sworn affidavits and video depositions, as well as deathbed confessions. Again, the testimony is unanimous that Roswell in July of 1947 did indeed happen.
You and I both knew Jesse Marcel Jr., whose father apparently flew the wreckage to Wright-Patterson. Did you ever meet the father?
No. And that was something that I regretted much, especially with Stan having been one of the principal researchers who did interview
Jesse. He did meet him, yeah.
Senior. Len Stringfield interviewed him. There were a number of reporters who had interviewed Jess Sr., but he often got in trouble, or at least people questioned, when he said he flew the wreckage. Well, it's no different than you fly, I fly, but we're just passengers.
Mm-hmm.
And he was. He was a passenger. It was on a B-29 bomber called Dave's Dream that went out on Tuesday, July 8th, that flew to Fort Worth for that infamous weather balloon press conference with General Roger Ramey. And it was just Marcel just saying the wrong thing about, or at least his being misinterpreted what he actually meant.
What was it that caused the government to change the story? Because the initial report was it was a flying craft, right, that it went
That's
down.
Correct. That they had captured a flying saucer. And because when the rancher, W.W. Brazel, first reported the find that Sunday, July 6th, but he didn't go to the military. Now, you're talking about the first atomic bomb squadron in the world, stationed at Roswell Army Airfield at that time. They were the elite within the military, where they selected the best officers, the best pilots, crew, doctors, nurses. It was a composite unit, and just the fact that they were the best in our United States military at that time. And Brazel, the rancher, he didn't go to the military. He went to the courthouse. He went to the sheriff, Sheriff George Wilcox. So it was the sheriff who then in turn contacted the base, and who should pick up the phone but Jess Marcel Sr.
Wow.
And he immediately went to the courthouse, retrieved a box of the wreckage brought in by the rancher. He returned back to the base. Now, and keeping in mind, this is a 4th of July holiday weekend. Most of the base personnel are home on leave. Nothing's been reported missing. They haven't been testing anything. The skies are quiet. And then this rancher comes in describing this huge debris field that covered an area of almost a mile long and how this rose in importance from minute to minute because Jess Marcel, he immediately alerts the very base commander, Colonel William Blanchard, Well, then Blanchard dispatches Marcel and a counterintelligence officer by the name of Sheridan Cabot to go check out, you know, this find, this crash. But Blanchard then contacts Washington. And he does it by first trying to contact his boss, General Roger Ramey, who is head of the 8th Air Force at Carsville Army Airfield in Fort Worth. Well, Ramey's home on leave himself. He's with family in Denton, Texas. And he speaks to his chief of staff, Colonel Thomas DeBose. Well, DeBose contacts Washington. And he gets he receives a phone call back from General Clements McMullen, who was Deputy Director of Strategic Air Command. The point being that Washington already knows about the crash late evening of Sunday, July 6th. And they have material in hand by late Sunday evening, July 6th, sent by Blanchard from Roswell. So this is a day and a half before the press release. And the point being, George, Washington is in on the press release. They had to acknowledge the fact that something crashed because it already had leaked to the press.
Yep.
And they created the straw man. They first built it up, and then they tore it down. Oh, sorry, ladies and gentlemen. We were wrong. It's just a weather balloon with a radar reflector kite.
And here are the parts.
Here are the pieces of the weather balloon.
Yeah.
Correct.
I mean, I remember that picture of Ramey with weather balloon stuff scattered all over the place.
That's right, all over his office floor. And the very thought that this is what the people in charge of the atomic bomb, you know, misidentified as a weather balloon. First time and only time in history a weather balloon was ever misidentified as a saucer.
With caskets, right?
With caskets, yes.
Listen to more Coast to Coast AM every weeknight at 1 a.m. Eastern. And go to coasttocoastam.com for more.
There's a lot of pros to drinking Health Aid kombucha. No cons that I can think of. Pro, amazing taste. Pro, pairs well with anything. Pro, probiotic. That's a literal pro. And it's deliciously refreshing. It's the perfect pairing to your meal or great on its own, whether you're having Pink Lady Apple, Berry Lemonade, or one of the other great flavors. It's the perfect swap for soda or alcohol. Make it part of your daily routine. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feeling Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.